Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Excited to get on the Rude Guest Hotline, talk with a Washington legend. Mr. Joe Theismann joins us now. Joe T., what's up, man? How are you?
Good morning, guys. I'm doing well. That's a nice way to start my segment with the Bee Gees.
Yeah.
Enjoy that very much. Now we have to get to other things, right?
Yeah. I think our producer Jim Mullins there is saying, it's only four games. You don't want to freak out too much by one result. Washington's still very much a lot of football left to play. But damn, yesterday was ugly, Joe.
It was.
Yeah, it really was. I agree with you. I think that, so many different aspects. You know, they made some big plays and we didn't get a chance to. Yeah, I think Marcus has played very, very well for us at the quarterback position. And our running backs have done pretty well. We just haven't been able to capitalize on plays when we need to on the offensive side, and defensively the running game just creates an issue for us, it seems. And those are all aspects that you go from week to week to week to isolate and say, okay, we need to fix this, how are we going to fix that? And this is going to be a great test for us going out and play the Chargers, who have one of the best defenses in football and one of the best young quarterbacks in football. So but this football team has always managed to find a way to rise to the occasion, and I expect that same thing this weekend.
Joe, the tackling is a big issue to me. You watching your day, my day, people hit and wrap up. Today, everybody just bump people and think they're going to fall. And it was a disgraceful display yesterday. And how do you get that changed up if the NFL and the NFLPA don't want people to practice football? How the hell are they going to play football?
Mitch, you're so right. There's two areas where I think football has changed significantly from when you and I played. And not that we're going back in history and say in the old days, but no defensive backs wrap up anymore. You're absolutely right. Everybody wants to body block somebody. The other thing is if it's a big running back, none of the defensive backs want to take him on.
Mm-hmm.
They're afraid of him. That's the God's honest truth. They're absolutely afraid to hit a big running back in the hole. I watch linebackers. I watch defensive backs whiff, just completely whiff, or attempt an effort. Maybe they think that the film is not going to expose them, but I see that so much. And the other thing is wide receivers today, because they have a 5-yard rule, they can't get touched. Their route running is terrible. As a quarterback, when we played back, when I had Art and Charlie and Alvin and Virgil, I insisted on giving me hints. That way I get the ball out of my hand. I can't anticipate where you're going to be. Now guys run through the holes so quickly, and I think that one position has suffered tremendously from a rule change as far as disciplines go. But you are so right about the tackling. The tackling is horrific, not just what we saw yesterday, but across the league.
Yeah.
Nobody's willing to step up and tackle anybody. You have some – Buda Baker, for example, is one of those safeties that can do that. Chin was that way. They're willing to stick their nose in and make plays. But now it's like, you can't get these guys on the ground throwing a body at them. You're absolutely right.
Yep.
I'm talking with Joe Theismann here on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude makes the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Joe T., you played quarterback at a really, really high level. You know how to kind of take apart a defense. When you see some of the coverage busts that the Washington secondary is having repeatedly, what do you see when you're watching that?
I not only see it with us, but I see it with a lot of different teams. I don't think it's the complexity of the defenses, because now, you know, remember, and I guess, you know, Brian pointed it out so well. Nobody practices. You can't, you don't have time to prepare for the regular season because nobody allows anybody to hit. Nobody allows really much, many, you don't have any games to really analyze people. Your starters never play. So when you start the season on opening day, that should be your first preseason game. So you look at 2 or 3 weeks in, now guys are starting to find themselves. They're starting to find their condition. They're starting to learn how to communicate with one another. You don't get any of that nowadays in the off season. It's a joke. It's an absolute. And I, as a fan of the game, I'm insulted to have to watch a lot of this stuff on football and know that in week 3 or 4, I'm going to start to see decent football again. I mean, as a fan of the game, I love the game so much.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was very, very good to a lot of us. But I'm excited about the game. But what I see is I see guys putting the ball on the ground, guys not holding onto the ball, guys dropping the ball, guys not tackling, guys not blocking, offensive linemen jumping off sides. They can't even look at the darn ball when it's sitting there. I see so many things that are undisciplined, and that's a direct result of not being able to practice the way you're supposed to play. I was very insistent. When I ran a practice on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, to me, they were games. That was a game for me.
Mm-hmm.
There were no excuses. You had to know where you were supposed to be. I had to throw the ball correctly. It didn't matter. To me, it was all about that's another game for me, and Sunday became an extension of that. And now, unfortunately, because of the rules, the way the league has been set up, guys, you can't really approach it that way.
True.
You know, you sort of have to feel your way through it, and all of a sudden you get in a game. Now you got to put your, you know, pedal to the metal and get it going. And we're not light switches.
Yeah.
You know, it takes time to get us ready to go.
Joe, so I was talking earlier, okay, like at this level, you're a professional. You're the top of your class, top of your profession. And if there's something that didn't work all week in practice and not working in the game, I think players should have the right to adjust some things. And without, like, going against what the coaches say. Like, I did it all the time. Bobby Jackson knew I was going to do it. If it don't work in practice and it's not working in the game, I'm not going to keep doing it. I'm going to do something else. And if the thing I do works, then I'm going to try to implement that into my whole game next week. Do players do that? I know back in the day, guys would make adjustments in a heartbeat. Now, it's like they go out, they do something that's not working, but I watched the whole game yesterday, and I watched one route combination, and they never changed anything about it, and they just kept completing passes on that same route combination the whole football game.
Yeah, you know, there's two ways that goes, Mitch. First of all, if you find something that people can't cover, you just keep doing it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you find a kink in the armor, then you keep exploiting it, and you keep exploiting it until you stop. It's funny. You bring up a great point. Coaches tend sometimes to outsmart themselves. What they do is they have success with something, and then they say, well, geez, you know, they're anticipating that the defense is going to make an adjustment. Instead, we ran 40 gut and 50 gut
yeah.
So people's nose bled. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
We're going to run it, and we're going to run it, and we're going to keep running it, and we're going to run hitches, and we're going to run, you know, out routes. We're going to run things. If you can't stop them, we're going to keep running them. And even if you stop it once, it doesn't matter. We're going to keep on running again because
mm-hmm.
we believe in what we're doing. I think that, you know, some of this, you know, we got trapped in some bad mismatches yesterday. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're trying to cover Bijan out of the backfield. He's a load. I'm telling you, he's one of the best running backs in football with speed, power, and everything else. And the ability to catch the ball. I mean, he's a rare combination we see in today's game. We just ran into a terrific performance by a terrific young running back yesterday. But I think that, and to me, it was funny with Coach Gibbs, that it wasn't a democracy. Joe drew up plays. It was my job to read the defense and get the ball, as he used to put it, to the open receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Today, what I see so much in football is guys are willing to throw the ball up in the air, hoping that the receiver makes a play or hoping that you get an interference call.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's like whatever happened to throw to the open receiver is what I'm talking about. But guys now also have input into the game. You know, the quarterbacks will get the game plans usually on Tuesday, have an idea. They'll sit down, they'll talk with the coach and say, I like this route, I don't like that route. Then they'll practice it, and if it doesn't look good, they'll say, you know, I just don't feel comfortable with this route, and they'll take it out. So there is more communication between the player and the coaches. But again, sometimes you try and outsmart yourself. Sometimes, you know, you you can disguise the routes with a lot of different formation combinations. You run the same thing over and over and over again. It won't look the same when it starts, which causes a problem for the defense, but the end result's going to wind up the same.
The end result yesterday certainly winded up the same.
It did. You're right. You're right, JP.
It seemed like Atlanta just had something figured out and Washington couldn't stop it. You mentioned earlier that you've been pretty impressed by Mariota. I think in his two starts, he's performed certainly admirably for a backup, given his team. I mean, in the Raiders game, he was fantastic against Atlanta. I thought he did more than enough. The offense gave this team a chance to win.
Yeah, they did. I mean, you know, we had trouble stopping their offense. This, you know, it's funny how our league is and how games are. The week before, the Atlanta Falcons put a goose egg up.
Yeah.
Didn't score. And then all of a sudden they come out and put 34 up against us. It boils down to when I watch a football game, and I usually sometimes have a little piece of paper next to me, and I'll sit there, and there'll be four or five plays in a game that determine the outcome of a football game. Four or five key plays make a difference, and they made four really key plays in that game, and we didn't get a chance to make as many. Mm. And, you know, the score was close enough to say it was one or two plays here and there, but it just didn't go our way. And I think, you know, we have to sort of take a step back and look at our football team and say, we're young in some places and we're old in others. And, you know, the year we had last year was fantastic, but that year is gone. There were a lot of late wins in that game. There were miracle finishes in that season last year. This is a new football team with a new year to establish its own new identity. And this run that we've got coming up here, you know, Chargers away, Bears at home, Cowboys away, Chiefs away, Seattle at home, Lions home, then we go to Madrid with the Dolphins. Mm-hmm. And then you finish the season with, you know, four straight division games. I mean, the schedule's not getting any easier. But you earn the right to be able to play a tough schedule because of your record the year before. And I think that, you know, this is going to be a game for us to get a real fix. The preseason's over in my mind. Mm-hmm. Now let's say, okay, the Chargers, they got beat by the Giants in New York with Jackson Dart, which was, thank goodness, the kid got a chance to play. I hope he doesn't want to play against us down the road, though, to be honest with you.
He looked all right.
He did, yeah. He did a lot of things well. He used his legs well and threw the ball well. But this is a chance for us to be able to go out and you know, make it happen. Everybody's beatable in this league. Yeah. Everybody's beatable in this league. And certainly going out to play the Chargers is going to be a challenge for us, but I believe this team's going to be up for it.
Joe, I keep getting asked, what's the identity of this football team? I haven't been able to figure it out just yet, but I would guess that they wanted to be running the football because they had two games where they rushed for over 100. Rushed for 150 yesterday. That's a very good output. Against Green Bay, they couldn't do anything. What would you say the identity of this football team is, or what should it be?
You know, I still think it's – Mitch, I still think it's trying to find exactly what it is. I think you know, Cliff looks for a balance. I don't think you could overstate the fact that Terry wasn't there. You know, without Terry with Jaden, you know, you got two key individuals on the offensive side of the ball that make plays, that create those one or two plays that I talk about in a game that you have to try and find. Them not playing makes a difference to this football team. I think they want to run the football enough to be able to keep defenses honest, but I would say that we're probably a team that would want to, you know, maybe 60-40 throw the ball. Mm-hmm. Maybe even 65-35, throw the football a little bit, because you can get the ball out of Jaden's hands quick, and all those short passes become just like extended runs.
Yeah.
So it's sort of a complementary aspect to the running game. You know, the two young running backs are, you know, they're playing their hearts out. They're running hard. They're making plays. They're doing everything they can. But we're, you know, I just don't see this football team as lining up and running the ball 35 times a game and expecting us to be able to control the flow of the game.
Talking with Joe Theismann here on the Rood Guest Hotline. Rood makes the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Joe, one thing that I keep going back to is, listen, man, they've played four games. They're 2-2. There's a lot of football left. But for Dan Quinn said it yesterday. We start slow on the road. You just mentioned three of the next four are on the road.
Yeah.
At what point is that on the players, on the coaches to turn that around?
You just have to ignore it. You know, when the football team that I was honored to be a part of, we didn't care if we played somebody on an aircraft carrier in the middle of the ocean. It wouldn't matter to us. And Mitch, I know you feel the same way.
Yep.
Wouldn't matter. And that's part of establishing the identity. Of course, back then, you know, you had guys that played a lot of football together. You know, this team is still trying to. This is not the 2024 Commanders. This is an entirely different group, a different group of players, a different chemistry that has to be created. And now is the time they have. This isn't time for one of those player meetings. This is time where the guys have to come together. And Mitch, you brought up, you're going to have to tackle better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've always asked, when I've had a chance to talk to different teams, my question to them is, which one of you is going to make the play that makes the difference in the game? Which one of these guys in this locker room is decided that they're going to make the play that makes the difference in the football game, to allow us the opportunity to win? And like I said, you knew one another when we played together. This football team is still learning about one another. Debo is new. You know, Larry's new. Terry was out. So, you know, you've got guys. You have to make plays. You have to catch the football. You have to be able to block well up front. You can't make stupid mistakes. You can't make mistakes. You can't wind up with first and 30, okay?
Yeah.
It's tough to overcome first and 10. But when you got first and 30, you know, it's like, okay, we're going to pick up 20 yards and then we're going to punt. What bothers me sometimes is the mental mistakes you make before the ball's ever snapped that creates issues and problems for play calling. And it makes it harder to be able to do what you want to do.
Joe, last one for me. It based on my own knowledge, I feel like it's going to be Jaden when we get to LA on Sunday. How much of a difference, how much of a boost is it to get Jaden Daniels back on the field for this team?
Marcus, like I said, Marcus has been a great steward of the position.
Yeah.
I think he's really stepped in. You know, I would put him up there and say, you know, as far as backup guys that have to go in and play, I put him in, you know, near the top in the league as far as being able to adjust, not get a lot of practice time, be able to efficiently run the offense. He can do it all.
Agree.
Jaden brings a different element to it. You know, there's a degree of athleticism that he has. There's the deep ball accuracy that he has. You know, there's so many things that he brings to the table that are unique to the position that not many guys possess. So to have him back, I think, would be a confidence factor to know that they can do certain things in this offense they want. And, you know, the question with Terry, you know, is Terry going to be healthy enough to be able to play the game and have the impacts that he has? You know, wide receivers, it's funny. You know, if you get nine targets a game, that's a lot. You make seven catches, that's a big number. But it's not a lot of plays in the scope of the amount of plays that are being run on the offensive side of the ball. And so, if he can make one or two plays at a key moment, which he has time and time again, it makes a difference. So to answer your question, JP, I think, you know, if Jaden is able to come back and play, I think it's a plus. Yeah.
Joe, we appreciate you making time for us on a Monday morning. Seriously, thanks, man.
Love to visit with you guys. Take care.
Hi, man. Take care, brother.
It's our friend Joe Theismann, true legend of the Burgundy and Gold organization. Appreciate his time and honestly the perspective, because you got to zoom in on yesterday, but you also got to zoom out on the totality of the season.
I had Fred Smoot on the podcast the other day, and I wanted you to hear his answers to what we were talking about earlier.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And that is, you know, what are the issues defensively and what are the fixes? We started off with what are the issues?
The issues to me, and here go another unsung hero. People don't, you know, Will Harris. Let me tell you what this guy brought to this team. He became the vocal liza of the back end. He had the ability to play tight ends in a way that no other safety on his roster. I've watched him in Zach Ertz battle all offseason.
He didn't play Tucker Kraft very well.
Listen to me. I'm never judging nobody by one guy. I know what this guy brought to this team. And now that he is missing in his defensive backfield, now that they continue to try to play out of man-to-man, if you can't play man-to-man, if you ain't got people changing it to boxes and triangles and doing checks when they motion and understanding how to get the most play out of the less, putting people in the less spots that's going to get them. Like, the one thing about it is, as much as people on Lattimore, sometimes it's what you call and how you execute it. Some of these things where he's running all the way across these formations, me and Sean Spring would have been checked there before that play even came. Like, so it's how do you talk and how do you weaponize communication and what are those communication checks? What can we check to? What are our options? So that's all I'm saying is, before people go and say what a person can and cannot do, you need to know what he got at his full repertoire and what's the communication. So if I can say anything that I'm seeing with my eye, it's the, they need to be on the same page, and they're not. It's almost like everybody, because we in man-to-man, everybody out there playing survival mode, and that ain't how I got to be played.
Okay, so you, I think, are implying an answer to my next question, which is, for people like me, I think it's really hard to figure out. You know, obviously, you don't want Bobby Wagner, you know, covering Bijan Robinson or Kyle Pitts. You know, him in coverage doesn't seem...
You don't want Bobby Wagner from 10 years ago checking okay, to Bijan Robinson.
Exactly. So there are certain things that are obvious. But when it comes to why people have gotten so wide open against the two opponents that are capable offensively, because the Giants and Raiders were not that capable offensively on the days we played them anyway. On the days we played them.
So you give them credit. So you discredit them when they don't stop offense, but when they do stop offense, it's because
I'm just
32 because it don't compare to the other ones. Because guess what? Their Green Bay offense is one of the top offenses in football. Their Falcons offense got three layers of stars. If the quarterback continues to grow, they're going to have a star-studded cast. And now the defense struggled against two good offenses.
You are really in two-and-two. You're in two-and-two mode right now. You're in 500 mode. You needed them to win yesterday. You needed them to be 3-1. So did I. I prefer that. No, what I was saying is that, you know, they played the Giants, who were a bit of a mess on opening day. No Andrew Thomas. That offensive line was a mess. They played the Raiders. Their best guard didn't play. You know, they were on a short week, Monday Night Football, West to East Coast, 1 o'clock start. And a lot of people got very excited about the defensive performances. And I think it's... And I think, okay, well, in my view, I think it was, you know, there was cautiousness in the approach to they're much better. Why? Because when they played a good offense, they got torched against Green Bay. And when they played a better than average offense yesterday, they got torched again. So I think it is still very much a wait and see here. But after yesterday, there are concerns. But back to what I was going to say about coverage, I think it's really hard for us that didn't play, didn't coach, to understand, is it more players and execution, or is it more scheme and play calling? And it sounded to me,
they both are always going to be married in a way that can't be separated. It's the play call, the players, the DNA of all of those things is only, like, think about a coordinator. If you ain't got the players you need to call a certain style of defense, you're going to stay away from that defense no matter how much you love that defense, because I don't have the soldiers for it. So they are so married to each other. Sometimes we'll never know unless we in that locker room truly which one is the weakness. Now, the only thing they can tell us sometimes is if it start to be patterns. Like if the certain person just continue to get beat and it becomes a pattern, then it's more of a dead person thing than it is a technique thing, what's going on with the play call.
All right, you know what? Enough about why. Let's. I'm going to be Tyrion Lannister right now. I'm going to be the hand, and we got to come up with solutions here. So what's this? What's the solution? Well, you're Tyrion Lannister, not me.
No. I'm more Littlefinger. I'm about chaos is a ladder.
Yeah, but that's
chaos is a ladder to greatness. See, you gotta realize Littlefinger started the Game of Thrones. He started all the drama.
I know, but you can't trust Littlefinger, and I want to be able to trust you.
And guess what? In this world, you can't trust nobody. So understand that. I always understand that.
All right. What's the solution?
The fix is one. I think they need to simplify to play faster. Two, understand you don't have the depth you started the season off with. You're going to have to make sure that some guys are being rotated in, not because you want to, because they have to, because they could be your starter within a drop of a dime. Three, like I said, after simplifying, after making sure you maximizing some people, I want to see guys like Tyler Owens on the field. I want to see guys that we haven't been utilizing. I want to see these guys utilized. And on that defensive front, I know they've been rotating. I think you need to find which duos, which pairs, which guys work better together. Because I don't think this happened yet. I don't think they found, all right, these work better, these work better. Like, I don't think they found that quick shuffle over there. So I think simplify, put these guys in less high-risk situations.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there needs to be a compromise in there and making sure that everybody's on the same page so everybody can play fast, everybody can play physical. And people need to, when anything get bad, they need to understand truly, they just have to lean on their technique, man. Technique is everything.
You know, on the D-line thing that you just talked about, what do you think the best combo of players is? Are you talking about just the front four, their base four, like which four should be out there the most?
Well, first of all, I like anything with Kinlaw in it. Like, if people really want to appreciate some good trench warfare, go get your All-22 and watch old Kinlaw.
He
throwing people out the club. And Payne is getting that edge back. And see, he's not getting double-teamed as much because Kinlaw is in there.
Yeah, exactly.
So any combination of them, and Doris Armstrong is the unappreciated man. This right in the Dangerfield right there. He gets no respect. He just ended a streak of a sack per game starting back to last year.
Yeah.
So he has been getting after the pass rusher. So any mix of those three plus whoever else needs to be in that pass rushing core. Like, they need to find the true mixture of what's needed.
All right. Well, you know, it changes, and there's still plenty of time. There are 13 games left in the season. They're going to play them anyway, even though some people expected more and are disappointed. I think considering your best player didn't play in two games, 2-2 is fine.
Thank you.
2-2 is fine. How do you see Sunday's matchup against the Chargers?
Well, like I told you, anytime we got a game that number five is dressed up, that Jedi, we always got a chance. Now, the one thing that I think we're going to see a little bit of a different Charger team, because Joe Ott, one of the best offensive linemen in football, you don't lose a player like that and get better, especially after them already losing Rashawn Slater. So it's going to be some trench warfare that's going to decide that game. The big uglies will decide this game right here. And it's going to be one of the things. They got Amarian Hampton. They got and Herbert is – I have never seen him look this good, but I'm not shocked, because that's what Harbaugh does. He's a quarterback whisperer. He understands this will be a challenge going to play them over there. But like I said, anytime we got number five, we got a chance.
I agree with that. A couple of quick league questions. How much trouble are the Ravens in?
You know what? If anybody can find their way out, it's that team, because they too damn talented. But also, look at their first four scheduled games. Like they've been had this number one, you know, this top schedule for so long, and we've been used to them skating through it that sometimes you don't stop to see how hard this schedule is. This schedule will only get better. I mean, soft as it goes with two games against Cincinnati and Jake Brown. Hell, they might have Russell Wilson by that time. So the schedule will get – I think they will put it like this. I'm never counting out any team with Lamar Jackson quarterback and Derrick Henry at the running back. I don't care how the defense looks. Now, you want to talk about how teams feel about their defense. Would you want to go to sleep and wake up a Baltimore Ravens fan and talk about defense when it's been their identity for a billion years and all of a sudden now they can't stop a nosebleed? No, that's different.
Well, the expectations for great defense in Baltimore have been earned. That's for sure.
This team didn't earn it. They can't be living off Ed Reed and Ray Lewis.
I'm saying the fan expectation, yes. No, you're right. But I tend to agree with you. I think they'll figure it out. And they're in a division that's certainly still gettable. In the NFC right now, you know, again, it's only four games, and the Packers look great, and then last night they gave up 40. But do you have a team in the NFC that you feel really good about, that this team is going to be there in late January with a chance?
And you're saying from the NFC, period?
NFC.
The Detroit Lions will be there.
That's mine. That's mine.
The playoffs.
Yeah.
They will be there. I would also say the LA Rams will be there, hovering. And I hate to say this, the Bleacher Creatures of Philadelphia will be there. That team right there, to me, is the most complete roster in football. When you go roster plus coaching and synergy, they win ugly, but they can win any way they want to. Saquon is off to a slow start. Nobody is saying nothing about it. A.J. Brown is off to a slow start. Everybody's talking about it. And they just continue to win. They just continue to win. But Washington, we'll have something to say about it too.
Yeah, because I still believe that five, you could argue, is the best quarterback in the conference. And if you have the best quarterback in the conference, you get a shot. But that's interesting, because those are the three teams for me right now. Like, if you said of the final four, the four that participate in the divisional round of the NFC playoffs, the Rams, as long as Stafford's healthy, the Lions and the Eagles are the only three that I feel really good about. You know, Green Bay, I think I would have said them 2 weeks ago and it would have been too early. I think they're really good and they're really talented, but I like Jordan Love. I like him a lot, but there are still some things that occasionally he does that'll cost you. But I think
he has to prove. He has to prove it. Yeah. He hasn't proved it in the playoffs. See, here go the thing about it. Old ball coach told y'all, did agree, y'all can't be crowning him. Right? Y'all want to crown him. Y'all want to crown these guys after two games and make them the best team in the NFL, and they just went head-to-head with the Cowboys, who people said 2 weeks ago were the worst team in football.
Right. All right. You're the best. Thanks for doing this. Hope you're well. Everybody can watch Fred. He's a part of all the stuff on the Commanders, you know, website, YouTube channel, with Logan and with Santana and everybody else. Appreciate you doing this.
Anytime, Professor.
Fred Smoot, everybody.
Time to head out to the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heat.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. We say good morning to our weekly commander's guest, Von Miller, joins us. Good morning, Von. How are you?
Howdy, guys. How's it going?
Hey, Von, we were talking about Bad Bunny earlier because he was named the Super Bowl artist this year. You played in two Super Bowls, won the Super Bowl MVP. Who were the artists during your Super Bowls?
I think the first artist was Beyonce at
not bad
in Santa Clara.
Okay,
and the second one they had like Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg. It was the Super Bowl in L.A.
Dr. Dre, Snoop,
and all of those guys.
Do you get to see like even a minute, even 10 seconds of it? Do you?
No, I'm not worried about that at all.
You think he's gonna leave the locker room?
That's the last thing. Yeah, that's the last thing on my mind. I think. You know, the one in L.A., we played Cincy, and their kicker stayed out for halftime.
Well, it's fine. They're not real NFL players. You can admit that, Vaughn.
That's the last thing on my mind, though. I'm trying to win the game. You know, you can watch the halftime show on YouTube later.
Right. It's a long halftime. What did you do, like, during a Super Bowl halftime?
So the typical halftime is about 12 minutes.
Yeah.
Super Bowl halftime is about 20, 22 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And it honestly flew by about the same. It kind of feels like college. Mm. You know how the college halftimes are, you know, a little bit longer, about 20 minutes. Yeah. So it just felt like college. It wasn't anything, you know, out of the normal, though.
You know, you always hear about halftime adjustments. I've heard some players say that the halftime adjustments things is overrated because between walking to the locker room, walking back to the locker room, you have time to go to the bathroom. You don't have that much. It's not like there's this major discussion. What is it like at halftime for an NFL player?
I mean, those guys must not have been on good football teams. You know, you know, it's all about adjustments. You know, all of these coaches, all of these offensive coordinators, defensive coordinators, linebackers coaches, quarterbacks coaches, you know, they're all geniuses. Most of them are all geniuses, right? And when you get guys that can run your scheme, that's what separates, you know, those coaches from other coaches. And it's all about adjustments. You know, you
did we just lose Vaughn?
You're able to make adjustments to that to be better for the second half.
Hey Vaughn, is head coach Dan Quinn, is he down in the dumps a little bit? I'm very good at nuance and hearing difference in people's voices. Like some of his pressers that he's done, the one he did yesterday, it didn't sound like the same, like, boisterous, like, rah-rah Dan Quinn. Like, are you noticing a difference in him at all, or am I crazy for thinking he's kind of down in the dumps?
I think he's crazy.
But at the same time, you know, Coach Quinn is based in reality, too, and it's, you know, we're 2-2. And we lost to Atlanta Falcons. That was a hard loss. You know, that'd be a hard loss to anybody. You know, Coach Quinn, he coached there. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a defensive coach. You know, we didn't play well defensively. You know, there's so many tackles broken, and you know, it was it could be tough. But I don't think he's down in the dumps. He's just based in reality. We had a tough loss, and you know, we got to get back to it.
I'm going to guess you want that play back where you look like you had Algier in the backfield and he just got out of your grasp. And then he basically ran over Revo at the goal line. Like, Talk about that play and how close you were to dropping him for what looked like a 3 or 4 yard loss turned into a touchdown.
Yeah, that was a tough one, man. You know, I don't play that many snaps, so I try to, you know, every snap I'm in there, I want to make plays, and you know, I want all of those plays to count. And you know, I wasn't able to make that play. It was tough for whatever reason. He was slippery. He was tough to get out. Like, you know, Bijan and Algiers, those guys ran hard. But our coaches, they had us prepared for that. You know, they coach DQ. He let us know exactly what we needed to do to win the game, and the game unfolded exactly the way he said. You know, we knew they had two really good running backs. We knew the quarterback was capable. Offensive line was capable. We knew they had a good defense as well, and you know, for whatever reason, we just weren't able to get it done.
Yvonne, you mentioned not playing that many snaps. Have you been vocal to DQ or Joe Witt Jr. like, hey, I can handle more. You can put more on my plate at this point, or are they just being like very measured and kind of careful with your snaps and your playing time?
No, we got a system. We got a system, and it works. We got a lot of guys in there that can play. You know, everybody plays a little bit different. You know, what I still do well. So, you know, whenever it's time to do that, you know, I like to go out there and I like to do that. But we, you know, I don't have any complaints. We got a system. It works. You know, in the games that we were able to win, it was masterful. And the games that we lost, you know, they were just tough losses. So, you know, I don't have any complaints. You know, whenever I'm a sniper. When I'm going there, I gotta make my shots.
Talking to Von Miller, he's got 1.5 sacks so far this season. You played in Buffalo the last 3 years before joining the Commanders. Joe Witt, your defensive coordinator, you're talking about coaches. What have your impressions been about Witt? A lot of fans talking about Joe Witt and the defensive scheme and things like that after a bad game. What is he like?
Coach Witt is great. You remember earlier when I was talking about, you know, these defensive coordinators, offensive coordinators being geniuses. You know, Coach Witt is one of those geniuses. You know, he's playing battleship with that offensive coordinator over there. You know, and we just got to be able to bring it to life. You know, great players, man. Great players look. You know, make great players. You know, they can really change a defensive scheme. And you know, we got some great players over here. We just got to continue to battle and get it right.
What is it about the NFL where a team like Atlanta can be shut out 1 week and then explode offensively? And we're seeing it around the league. It could be, you know, the Chargers, who's your next opponent. They look great for 3 weeks. Then they play the Giants. Most people expect them to win that game, and the Giants beat them.
It's crazy, right? The NFL is crazy, man. It's crazy, man. It is a beautiful league. You know, they say any given Sunday all the time, and you know that's true. You know, and I think that probably played in, you know, to that blowout versus Carolina. That probably played into our game as well. You know, when you challenge men, you know, men respond. Mm-hmm. And the NFL is full of big time players. No matter what the record looks like, it's full of men that have been playing. High level football their whole entire careers, and you know that 30-0 blowout in Carolina and 0-3 and coming and play us, you know, all of that probably played into a factor, and it was nothing that we weren't prepared for. You just got to keep playing, man, and you got to understand that it's a week to week league, and mm-hmm. we got to get off this roller coaster and just continue to just stack days and build games.
Yeah, we talked about that last week. Von, we talked about the fact that Atlanta was embarrassed, but they've got Bijan. Bijan's a stud. They've got Drake London. Drake London's a stud. Pitts, you know, he can really, when he's got good games, he looks like a Pro Bowler. And those guys really looked good. And now you're going to be playing the Chargers, who had 14 penalties, 14 against the Giants. Herbert threw two picks. He looked like butt. I watched a lot of the game. We took the Chargers in our survivor pool.
Yeah, not great.
And we're out. Okay, so we're done. And I was very pissed. But anyway, so now you're playing the Chargers, who were obviously pissed about how they played. And mentally, they just weren't in the game. And now you got to go out there and play them. And they've got studs offensively. So, I mean, how do you prepare for them?
Yeah, I guess you just got two pissed off teams. You just got to go out there and see, because you know, we that game that we lost, you know, we're pretty pissed off about that too. And you know, it was a tough one for us. It was a tough one for him. And you know, we're traveling, you know, coast to coast to go play. I love LA. LA has a special place in my heart. SoFi Stadium has a special place in my heart. I've had a lot of great games there. I think I've only lost there one time.
I think I've only lost there one time
to the 49ers, and you know, yeah. So it's just one of those days, one of those games. And you know, sometimes whenever you face with adversity, it could be on or off the football field. It doesn't mean more. Sometimes more isn't what you need. I think we just gotta get back in our routine and really just dot all the I's and cross all the T's, and you know, instead of just, you know, more sprints, more this, more that, just let's just really focus on what we do well and go out there and make it happen.
Vaughn, I'm going to read you a headline from Chargers Wire. This is a good headline for you and your defensive mates with the Commanders. Chargers searching for offensive line help, work out four players. That's in the midst of Joe Alt with a high ankle sprain. So they're going to be without their two offensive tackles. That has to be good news for you and guys trying to put pressure on Herbert throughout that game.
Man, like I said, man, this league is crazy, man. You know, even though they don't have their top two guys, those other guys are more than capable. You know, going into that Atlanta Falcons game, you know, they had some, you know, different pieces in there. Elijah Wilkinson was a guard, and they were able to, you know, keep us to one sack. So, you know, never want to get ahead of ourselves. You know, if I'm gonna feel confident about something, I feel confident in our team and our guys and what we're able to do, not necessarily who we're going against. So I'm confident in our guys. I'm confident in D-Pain, one of the best D-tackles in the league. You know, Javon Kinlaw. We got Dorrance Armstrong ready to get it rolling again. I'm confident in our guys and what we're able to do, and I just want to go out there and put on a show.
You know, watching the Raiders game, you guys generated a ton of pressure. I think your pressure rate was 50%. Weren't able to do that against Atlanta. What was different about Atlanta's offensive scheme that kept you away from getting the quarterback?
I think you know, just his time to throw was down. It was a really short time to throw. He was decisive in his Then the times where he had a little bit of time, it's kind of like he felt it, and you know, he took advantage of that and took his time and threw the ball downfield. But he did a really good job of, you know, being decisive.
So the quick passing game.
Yeah, the quick passing game. Decisive throws, and if he needed time, they were able to build that in the play, whether that was play action or, you know, Zach Robinson did a good job mixing up the calls too. But you know, it was just a tough one, and from my perspective, it was just the time to throw, and he was able to get the ball out quickly.
Hey, I just kind of want to switch it up a little. Your boys are up to number 6 in the country after beating Auburn in a kind of a defensive battle last week. Got Mississippi State at home. That's a big one because Mississippi State's actually better than people think. You got that couple weeks ago, the unbelievable comeback win against Notre Dame, and Marcel Reed connecting on that fourth down for the touchdown. Your boys are rolling right now. How you feeling about them?
Yeah, don't jinx me, man. You know, I believe in them. You know, I've been through. You know, it's been 15 years since I've been at Texas A&M, and we've had some incredible highs and some incredible lows. And you know, right now we're riding high, and number 6 in the country, man, it's amazing to see that number 6 beside Texas A&M. Mm-hmm. And you know, to see the job that Coach Elko is doing there, and you know, defensive line coach Tony Gerard Eddy. I played high school football with him and college football with him, and wow, Now he's the defensive line coach. So a little bit extra attention, paying a little bit extra attention to you know, the Aggies. And you know, we got Mississippi State this week.
Yep.
And another SEC school. We just got to go out there and play our game. I guess it's kind of similar to you know, what we're doing here. And the Commanders more than capable to go out there and win any game that we're playing. We just got to go out there and do it.
By the way, Vaughn, how awesome is the atmosphere at Kyle Field when it's packed? And by the way, they've expanded it. It now holds over 110,000 people. Like, incredible. That atmosphere looks crazy for a big SEC game.
Yeah, there is no place on earth that is like Kyle Field on a Saturday. You know, everybody has fans and everybody has student section. You know, our student section is different. They stand for the whole entire game. They're into each and every play. And you can really feel the energy behind each and every step on that football field. So obviously you got some other great college football stadiums. You know, everybody's going to say that they have number one this and that. It's just the way our student section is involved in our games on Saturdays that sets us apart.
Hey, real quick, before we let you go, did you see the Tyreek injury?
Yeah, I did. And that was a tough one, too. It's just a routine 10-yard out.
Yep.
You know, routine play, 10-yard out, stepped a certain way, and, you know, dislocated his knee out of all things. That's what the early reports say. So it was, you know, it's crazy. Like, at any given, you know, moment, like, you know, you can – go from being at your best to an injury. You know, this game is built on redemption stories and comeback stories. Like, you know, every Hall of Fame player, every big time player in this league has had to overcome some type of injury at some point. And especially if you play a long time, and right. You know, Tyreek Hill, he's getting up there in years. So if you play a long time, you're going to have some type of, you know, injury that's going to set you back, and it's all about, you know, redemption and bouncing back from that.
Hey, have you faced Justin Herbert? Because I was looking when you were with Buffalo, the last time you played them, you faced Easton Stick.
Yeah, I guess so. I have not played Justin Herbert. I mean, I'm a fan of the league, so I felt like I'd known. I felt like I'd known. I watched so many Chargers games or watched Khalil Mack so many times. I feel like, you know, I feel like I know him. So I guess not. I guess I have not played Justin Herbert. That's crazy.
All right, well, hopefully you meet him in the backfield and right. Sack him twice. You have an up-close meeting this weekend.
Get after him.
That'd be perfect.
Yeah.
Vaughn,
yeah,
thanks, for the time, man. Enjoy L.A. We'll talk to you again next week.
Appreciate you guys.
Yeah, all right, brother.
Appreciate you, too. That's Vaughn Miller on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV.
I believe I predicted a Von Miller strip sack last week.
But you know,
maybe
what?
We get one this week.
Yeah, maybe you're just off by a week. That would be great if we could get one of those. That'd be fun.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. We're excited right now to get on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude makes the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Talk to Commanders tight end John Bates. John, what's up, dude? How are you?
What's up, guys? Doing well.
Coming straight from ballet?
Family's out of town this week, so no ballet, just extra treatment and
right.
Getting in the building and getting geared back up for another week.
Is that extra treatment helping us out, getting you right?
Oh, yeah, it is. Yes, big time. Big time.
DQ was asked about you yesterday in his presser and said, you know, on the right track, things are trending up. Do you feel like this is the week you get back on the field after missing a couple?
Yeah, I think so. I think I'm going to get phased back into practice this week and start moving around on the field with the guys and stuff like that. So I'm hoping that's the case.
How difficult has it been, John, sitting there watching and not being able to be out there with the guys?
It's tough, man, like being the competitor I am and just wanting to like go out there and help the team, you know, do anything possible to win. It's tough. And I've never really, I think I've missed maybe one game my entire NFL career. And so sitting out one, but having to sit out two has been something really weird and different for me. And definitely not easy, but it, you know, when you sit out for a game and you've got something going on like this, it also too makes you hungry to come back as fast as possible and get back out there and help the guys.
When, you know, it was interesting because you told us where you were for the Raiders game. You were up in the booth watching, and that game ends up kind of being a runaway. And as difficult as it is to watch and not participate, that still had to be kind of a fun experience. What's it like to watch a game that goes the other way, like the Atlanta one?
Yeah. I mean, it's tough anytime you lose, right? And obviously not being able to be out there and help contribute in any way is tough, but, you know, we got a resilient group and, you know, we got a group of guys that are mature and want to come in and, you know, fix any issues that we had going on to help leap ourselves forward coming into the next game. And so, we got a motivated group and, yeah, just excited to get after it this week, man.
You and Sam Cosmi are tight. It seems like Sam could be really close to a return as well. Did he have ballet this morning? Do you think Sam is ready to get back out there?
Yeah. No, I think I'm excited for him, man. Like, it's been a long journey for him, a long road recovery and just a lot of hard work that he's put into it. And so I think that they're opening up his practice window, and I'm just excited to have him back out there, and I know he's excited to be back out there too.
John, looking at the running game, this running game still has a lot of success in Atlanta and was effective. And when you see that happening when you're not there, do you see things you can help with to make it even better than what it's been?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I take a tremendous amount of pride in it, and the O-line and the tight ends have done a great job of, in these last two games, just being able to establish the run game and get that going. And so it just excites me, that we're able to accomplish that much already. And, it just makes me that much more excited to come back and hope that, I can go out there and help even improve the run game more and, have these other tight ends and O-linemen continue to do the same thing.
When you watch a young guy like Bill, Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, let me ask you about Chris, because that's a guy you've known since he was drafted. How impressed have you been with how Rodriguez, I think he really showcased it in the Atlanta game when he hit that long one. How much have you seen him change his body and add speed over his years here in Washington?
Yeah, I know over coming into this offseason, the last offseason, I know that was like a big thing for him, was just being able to change his body, still be super strong, but slim up a little bit and work on that speed. And I'm just always impressed by C-Rod, man. Like ever since he's gotten here, like I've seen what he is as a running back and what he's been able to do and produce for us, in our team. And every time, he gets put into the situation where, they're counting on him to come in and step up and run the ball and do his thing, man. Like he's a pro's pro. Like he steps into that role, no flinching, and he just does what he does, man. Like bully ball player, breakaway speed, and it's just been so exciting for C-Rod. Like I love that dude. He just works his tail off and comes in the building with the right attitude every single day, and he deserves everything he gets.
Talking with John Bates here, Commanders tight end. Missed the last two games, hoping to get back on the field week 5 against the Chargers. So, John, you mentioned your family's out of town. So, are you solo in the house?
Solo in the house. So, just a lot of treatment, hanging out with the dogs, getting stuff done around the house while I'm by myself. So,
ask this question, John. What's
quiet?
The,
it's quiet.
What's the like the eating schedule when your family's gone? Do you cook or do you go out?
I'll cook a little bit. I just really have been kind of leaning on the meals here at the facility. but I can cook, but when we got the meals at the facility, I've really just been leaning on that.
It's and hard
I
mean, to I'll argue with Chef Brandon, dude. Yeah. The food is
Brandon
so good.
Kills it, man. It's like, I'll tell you what, for now being my 5th year here, like, I don't think there's ever been one instance where I'm like, I'm not really like feeling this lunch today or, this dinner. I'm just going to order something to the facility. It's like every single day those guys bring it and they just do so much for us and appreciate the heck out of them. Cause I mean, they're, tier one top class cooks and chefs back there. They do a great job.
Oh yeah.
You know what's interesting, John, that you brought that up? There's not a ton of players, honestly, in that locker room that have been there as long as you now, which might seem crazy because you're still a young player, but like that's just the nature of the NFL. Teams turn over every year. Since you were drafted in 21, I mean, that was before the team got sold. Like how different? Everybody talks about how different is the day to day being in the facility from 21 to now?
Yeah, man, it's so different. And I had some great coaches and like people that are in here before everything happened, and super grateful for them. But just like what DQ and AP have been able to do for like the culture and just like the vibe and the energy in the building, it's like it's crazy. You just walk in with like this freedom in yourself, and there's no one being tight ass around the building. No one, coaching just or playing to like save their butts and their jobs. There's like a sense of freedom because they have belief in us and respect for us as players. And I think it's reciprocal from the players to the coaches as well. And so, you know, it's just, it's an environment where you're able to come in and be free and be yourself. Obviously there's the expectation and the standard of, you know, working our tails off and, you know, playing the way that we do, but it's just great, man. Like it's such a free atmosphere and a place where you can be yourself. And it's been spectacular.
That's great to hear. I'm curious, especially with wife and kids out of town, did you stay up and watch the Monday night doubleheader last night?
I made it to like probably halftime of the late game. Once 10 o'clock rolls around, I'm getting to a point now. I'm 30s creeping in here in the next couple of years. I gotta get my beauty sleep. I know.
You're a JP Scholar.
I got kids. Y'all keep talking like y'all old, man.
I saw the end of the last game.
That means you fell asleep in between.
No. I got home a little bit later.
That's right when you got home, though.
Opening it up to make sure, like, I know. I got to get my beauty sleep when I can.
I turned it off and read a little bit, but it wasn't captivating. I'm curious, dude. Obviously, you're a football player, Pacific Northwest guy. Like, did you play other sports growing up?
Yeah, man, I was like, I did it all. I did football, basketball. I wrestled like 2 years growing up. Baseball, football, track and field. When I was in seventh grade in the spring, I would get done with school, go from school to soccer practice at a park across from our school. Then I would walk back to the school, do track practice, and then I go from track practice to baseball practice. So I've just always been like super active, and my parents were amazing and supportive of me. And I think I'm most fortunate to grow up in a small town too, where everyone did everything and everything was close by. And so I was fortunate enough to, my parents let me do kind of all the sports that I wanted to, and were always super supportive of that. But no, man, I was a sports junkie. Like, whatever it was, I was trying to do it.
I tell you what, as your kids are young right now, just buckle up for the way youth sports are now. Because it's not just going across the street to the park. You just end up being an Uber driver.
I know. It's crazy. It's crazy. It's like a completely different world now. Even from, like, when I was in high school to, like, college. I mean, the 7-on-7 football stuff is blown up, and everything's turning into, like, a AAU league. But I don't know. I also see like the value in kids doing sports at their school and being around like the people that they grew up in and their community and stuff too. And I think obviously the competitive leagues and stuff are great for competition and stuff, but I think there's also something super special about you know, sticking close to your community and doing things with, you know, local coaches and stuff like that too, that are super beneficial for kids. And I think at the end of the day, if you got an athlete or your kid's an athlete, like, no matter whether they do AAU or local stuff, like, if they're a good enough athlete, they're going to get seen for their potential and worth. So
totally. I think to that point, I think one of the most interesting kind of subplots of the transfer portal and NIL and everything is you're starting to see, especially at the quarterback position, some of these guys that emerge as like real stud quarterbacks aren't necessarily, they don't have to go to Michigan or Texas or whatever. Like,
and go wherever.
The kid John Mateer, who's now hurt at Oklahoma, like, he bounced around a little bit. This dude at Indiana that might be the overall number one pick now has bounced around a ton. And I think between social media, there's so many more outlets for good athletes to get seen. You know what I mean?
For sure. And I think like kind of an overlooked thing now, and especially college athletics, you have all these kids that want to bounce around and go from place to place and play right away, which I think from a competitive standpoint is awesome. That guys want to, obviously everyone wants to go out and play right away, but I think a super overlooked aspect too, or perspective, is just like the development piece, man. Like, if you can stick somewhere and really like truly develop yourself with a coaching staff and coaches and the guys around you, like, you give yourself such a better chance, in my opinion, of being able to like develop your skills and your work ethic, your character, and all those things And that's why, like, Boise State, like where I went to, I think is such a special place because you don't have a lot of guys going into the transfer portal, and you're getting a lot of, you know, high-class recruits now, even more than before, and you're getting guys like that to, like, Ashton Gentry last year.
Yeah.
Passed up on millions of dollars to go to probably anywhere he could have wanted to go, but because, you know, he knew how special Boise was and how great it was for his development and everything else. Like, it's just a super special thing. It's something I think that's, like, really overlooked too. And so I definitely see the value in that.
For sure. Last thing for me, John, did you grow up a Mariners fan? I'm curious, baseball-wise, who you like.
It's super weird, random, but when I was, like, in first grade, my dad was my parents were both educators, but they went to, like, this conference thing in St. Louis. My dad came back with Albert Pujols jersey for me.
Oh.
And so I don't follow baseball much as much as I used to growing up, but ever since he brought that home, I was Cardinals jersey, so I got to watch them win, you know, two or three World Series there in that mid-2000s, early 2010s era with Pujols and Carpenter and Molina and all those guys. And so that was kind of my team growing up, a little bit random, but that's kind of the story behind it.
All right, that works, man. Cards aren't playing now.
When you're
now,
young, but and you get something from a team, bro, it sticks to you.
Well, and they're also like a classic MLB franchise, too. I got no beef with the St. Louis Cardinals. John, thanks for your time, dude. We will see you tomorrow.
All right, thanks, guys. See
Jay, be cool,
enjoy, bro. Enjoy the quiet at the house.
Appreciate it.
All right. That's Commanders tight end John Bates. Says he's looking forward to getting back to practice this week. Hopes to be on the field week 5 against the Chargers.
We got to go to the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. And welcome onto the show a guy averaging 6 yards per carry in the National Football League. When he touches the ball, explosiveness follows. It's Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt with us on Grant and Danny. What's up, Ja'Cory? How are you?
What's going on?
How you doing, bud? How you feeling?
No, I'm feeling good.
So you missed a couple days of practice with a knee injury last week. You ended up going on Friday and then playing in the game Sunday. And I don't know much, sitting on the couch, but it looked like you were completely yourself and normal. What was going on with the knee, and were you compromised at all, or did you feel 100%?
Nah, it was just a little soreness from the previous game, but I mean, I felt fine when I was out there. It was just a little bit of soreness, but I think everything is back 100%.
Was there some question as the week went on if you'd play, or did you know all week long you were probably going to be able to go?
I mean, it was kind of like a day by day thing, just seeing how I felt.
At this point, is this just now kind of, you know, bumps of the season? That's what happens at a position where you're getting tackled every play and you know, just the physicality of it. Is it something that you're going to be dealing with, or do you feel like you're back to 100%?
No, I feel like I'm back to myself. I mean, nicks and bruises happen, but, I mean, I think it healed pretty quickly, and I feel like I'll just be downhill from now. It was just a bump in the road.
7 carries for 47 yards in Atlanta for you. The running game was dominant. I mean, really, really good stuff. Chris Rodriguez had a near 50-yard run early in the game. The two of you guys combined for around 15 carries and well over 100 yards. So it was very dynamic. What did you make of kind of the blocking and how things went up front and just how successful you guys were running the ball in this game?
I mean, that's what we like to preach in our group, like we can handle whatever is thrown at us, and like we just like whenever our opportunity to come, we just want to just make the best out of it. So like that's kind of like where you see us getting those tough runs. That's where that come from. Like just not want to let each other down or let the team down.
Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt with us here on Grant and Danny for his weekly Tuesday at 5 p.m. spot. So it was a bit of a strange game at times. The Falcons got off to that rip-roaring start, and you guys had one possession, and by the time you got the football back, you were down 10-0. Does that change things for you guys just in terms of the dynamic, the talk on the sideline, or maybe even the game plan? Because you then scored and responded on that next drive.
I mean, yeah, it definitely do. Definitely don't want to put yourself in a hole like that, especially, I mean, against any NFL team because, you know, everybody's pros out there. So it was definitely like, like talk on the sideline, like we just gotta play cleaner football and just play our brand of football.
Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Ja'Cory, one of the things I keep asking for and a lot of us feel like should happen is you just getting the ball more often, right? And last week it was 7 carries, 8 the week before that. Your career high is still 10 in that first game against the Giants. And it seems like one of the things is when you get to a point without the football, Cliff has said in his press conference, where you've aced everything, that's when they can start playing you kind of on all downs. Give us an idea of the work you're putting in, the progressions you're making in pass protection, and what goes into that. Because a lot of us just think about running backs running the football, but the actual work and the studying you have to do to be on your details in pass pro.
Yeah, it's definitely more than just running the ball. Like you gotta be trusted to do anything on the field, especially in this league. So I mean, it's a day by day thing. Just knowing what I gotta work on and like trying to perfect that craft each and every day and just get better at something so that I can be able to like just reach my full potential. But it's just like a day by day thing, just working on the small fundamentals.
But as far as
I get better at that.
The pass pro thing, is that like the work that you're putting in, is that a technique thing? Or like, to me, what would be hardest would be actually watching the tape and figuring out where it's coming from or in real time. Are you pointing things out, or the quarterback, or the center? How does that work to know, okay, this guy's coming, this guy doesn't, so you can be in the right spot?
I mean, it's basically just knowing the protections, just knowing what the defense is doing, and just knowing the calls. And that's basically how we read the protection. Like you just gotta know who you're blocking, and of course, like. Your technique and fundamentals got to be correct to block those linebackers coming at you full speed. So, I mean, I'm definitely just working on the small things to get better.
So going back a couple of years ago, you caught 7 passes in a 12-game season at New Mexico. And I think this happens to a lot of college running backs. It's just not as much part of the regular offense for running backs to catch the ball like it can really be up here in the NFL. Where are you in that process? A couple catches this past weekend. How comfortable do you feel as a receiver? And you know, how far do you think you've come in terms of improvement?
I love catching the ball. In New Mexico, we really – was a run-heavy team, and the bats really didn't have a lot of routes to run, so that's where that come from. But I'm definitely comfortable and just catching the ball and just being able to be versatile.
You know, Ja'Cory, as I think about this, it's interesting to bring this up with you. I was joking earlier with somebody about how in college football you get these guys who have played 5 years, 5 schools or whatever. Like, I don't love the idea that – I love paying players, NILs, no-brainer and all this stuff. Like, in the NFL, there's actual contracts and it's regulated. In college, it's like, oh, damn, I recruited this guy. He had a great year, and now he's on to the next. But you're a great, you know, kind of counter to that for me, where Alabama State to New Mexico to Arizona, like a success story about the options that are at your disposal. What's your thought on that and just being able to kind of carve out a career based on some of the new rules and being able to put yourself in some good spots?
I mean, thanks for the transfer portal. I mean, I feel like I had to make those steps to get where I'm at now. So, I mean, it wasn't like a thing. Like, I just wanted to go to a different school. I just know I had to, like, just make those moves to, like, just be in the NFL, coming from HBCU to Power 5 conference and, like, just really getting recognized. I mean, but I totally respect the transfer portal if you're doing it for good reasons. That makes sense.
Walk me through that, actually. It's something forgive my ignorance, I actually don't know. And, you know, decades ago, I kind of had a general idea how it worked. But this is all sort of brand new to us. You know, the Pudgy Zilchers on the sideline kind of getting used to it. Is that something where you start, you know, actively calling? Or is it, you know, once you're in the portal, coaches start calling you? Like, is it kind of like through a high school recruitment process over again?
It definitely is a high school recruitment process. I mean, because some players get stuck in there. But it's basically like, okay, how did my year go? Do I got enough film? Do I got enough buzz for another team to pick me up? So that's basically like that's basically how people decide they want to get in the transfer portal, if they feel like they're good enough for a team to come get them.
for me, I would love to do like an NIL deal with like Waffle House or something, or just some like Oreos or something. Did you ever have any cool or fun opportunities with NIL deals, or you know, did they come along late enough in the game that it wasn't a huge thing just yet as you were kind of finishing up?
I mean, nah, it wasn't nothing major. It wasn't nothing major, especially with like working with companies or anything like that.
You weren't on that Jaden plan.
Nah, I wasn't.
Winning that Heisman.
That'd be a good 50 plan.
50 touchdowns at LSU. Yeah, you can get some NIL.
Yeah, it's definitely levels to it.
Yeah. Speaking of Jaden, hopefully it sounds like he could be back this weekend. Marcus has played well, and you guys offensively have still been good without Daniels. But if he is able to play against the Chargers, sounds like signs are pointing in the right direction. What would that do to just get him back out on the field?
I mean, it'll definitely help out a lot. I mean, a guy like that, he's very creative with the ball, and I mean, we'll love to have him out there because of like just him being a leader, like him just being who he is. I feel like that's enough. That's enough for us to go forward and be comfortable with. So I mean, it's just good to have a quarterback like him.
What was the mood after the game among the guys? I'm sure, you know, going on a road trip to Atlanta, I know a lot was on the line for guys like Marcus Mariota, Dan Quinn, who, you know, coached and played there, respectively. What was it like, you know, kind of post-game and kind of getting back to work here this week? What's been kind of the tenor?
We got to play cleaner football. We know that wasn't our best football. We can't make mistakes that'll set us back, especially in being in the NFL. So we just got to play cleaner football. That was really the biggest thing, just being good on all three phases and just being nice.
Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt, you go back, you watch the All-22 of his carries. It's must-see TV. I mean, every carry is exciting. It's explosive. Last week, he said he had some of the best vision in the league. He showed that in this game again. He's averaging 5.9 yards per carry this year and might be time to turn up the faders on his involvement in this offense. When do you start turning your attention to the upcoming opponent on your own in terms of film study? I know with the schedules, you know, like as a team, you know, Wednesday you really get going with that first practice. But will you on Monday or Tuesday just on your own start watching the Chargers at all? Or how does that work for you? What's your week like?
I would say definitely on Monday just get an eye on them and then like just start looking at the game plan that we have going in and just making sure I'm fine with it. Just working on that throughout the week so we can execute it on Sunday. But yeah, like soon as we're done with one opponent, we're on it the next day, just trying to figure out a way to get another win.
If you weren't an NFL player, Ja'Cory, what do you think you'd be doing for a living right now?
Definitely something with my own business.
Like an entrepreneur?
Yeah, definitely I'll be an entrepreneur. But I would be in school for maybe business or something so I don't know, I really have to just find something I like and stick with it. But I know I want to be an entrepreneur.
I like that. Okay, Halloween is coming up about a month from now. Generally sports teams, everyone gets together, they have a big party at someone's house and they dress up in costume or whatever. Oh, yeah. Have you thought about your costume for this year? Or what's one of your favorite Halloween costumes all time?
I'm not even sure. I haven't even thought about that.
You got a month.
I might dress as the Lil Bill character.
The which character?
The Lil Bill character.
Oh, the one you're named. Yeah. Lil Bill.
Yeah.
Okay, I think that could play. That'd be funny.
I'm not sure. That could be an option, but maybe... I don't know. I'm not really big on Halloween and dressing up, so I'll see.
You're not big on getting candy either, or just the dressing up part?
I mean, both kind of. I used to be when I was kind of younger, but I mean, I feel like it's a cool holiday. I used to take my niece walking around the neighborhood or whatnot and knock on doors. So I mean,
I was gonna say when you have cool kids, it gets cool again.
Yeah,
it definitely is.
How's Cousin doing? We got a lot of people. I heard from a lot of people last week about how funny they thought it was that you named your dog Cousin Kroski Merritt. How's Cousin?
Cousin, working on the butt whipping. working on the butt whipping. I caught him chewing on one of my cords to my game.
Mm-mm.
And I mean, he have toys laying out, so I don't know what made him just like want to pick a cord and chew on it, but I mean, That's my dog. I mean, he's still a puppy, so I took it light on him.
It's like just hard enough to get to that was what made it so enticing, right?
Yeah.
What's the game that you play?
I like Fortnite. I like Madden.
He's a young person.
I like NCAA. Yeah.
Madden's good. Are you in NCAA on Arizona?
Yeah, I definitely am.
Okay. Have you ripped off any 100-yard games?
I would give you the ball.
Yeah, every play it's coming to me every play.
You don't throw it. Like, I'm the guy that never runs the ball in video games.
No. Madden too. I'm running the ball every play.
I love that.
I might throw it sometimes, but we running.
Only if it's you throwing it as a trick play?
You say what again?
Only if it's your only time you throw it is when you actually give it to you and then it's a trick play.
Yeah, and I might throw it to a receiver.
Ja'Cory, we appreciate you, buddy. We'll catch up next week, and hopefully we'll be talking about not only a win in L.A., but you know, a big breakout with a bunch of carries for you.
Yeah, definitely.
Talk to
appreciate you
then.
Appreciate you, buddy.
Be good.
Have a good night.
You got it. There's Ja'Cory Krosky-Merritt. Bill, the Commanders running back, joining us here on The Fan, our weekly 5 p.m. appointment with him. Danny, you keep averaging 6 a carry. You're a quarter way through the year. I know he's got to improve in pass pro, and they want to get some other things ironed out.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.